Have you ever collected toad eggs and hatched tadpoles? Or watched baby ladybugs hatching from eggs? That's what my family has been doing this week. It's the perfect season for nature study, and we invite you to join us for Magnify, a wild and wonderful summer adventure by Nat Theo. Discover God's creation right where you live as you find frogs, butterflies, animal tracks, birds, and so much more. Become a junior naturalist for God's kingdom. Join today at nattheo.com/magnify to access the full summer guide and tune in for live video classes where you will learn from me and share your discoveries with other students. Don't wait. Join today, start exploring, and get ready for our live video classes in Magnify at nattheo.com/magnify or the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Hello, listeners, and Merry Christmas! I hope you are having a beautiful Christmas week and Advent season as we reflect on Jesus coming to earth to save us. You know, when I was a little girl, my family went out to cut our own Christmas tree every year. I grew up in the state of Wisconsin, and we would go to local tree farms where people grew pine trees very carefully for people to come and cut down every Christmas. I remember wandering around these tree farms with my brother and sister and parents as we searched for the perfect Christmas tree. When I grew up and had my own family, my husband, kids, and I moved to Colorado. I was so excited our first Christmas to go out into the wilderness of the Rocky Mountains and find and cut down the perfect Christmas tree. Only to find out that wild trees are definitely not perfect. They are not the perfect shape, and they do not have the perfect number of branches in the perfect places. That year, we came home with a tree that was definitely not perfect. And to be honest, I was a bit disappointed. We have lived in Colorado for 9 years now. And my idea about what a perfect Christmas tree is has definitely changed. Nowadays, I just love venturing out into the wilderness and wandering through the wintry forest to find our tree. This year, after we had looked around for a while for a nicely shaped tree, we decided to choose a tree that truly represents the Colorado wilderness. A ponderosa pine tree. This is not a pine tree that you think about when you picture a Christmas tree. It has no branches on its trunk until a few feet up, and then it branches out in all kinds of different directions with big puffs of long pine needles. My kids say it looks like a big bonsai tree. You should have seen people's faces, their expressions, and big grins as we drove home with this ponderosa pine tree on top of our car. My favorite part is that my kids sit underneath the tree since there are no branches close to the ground while reading Christmas books, with all of the tree's wild branches and twinkling lights like a beautiful canopy above them. If you want to see our Christmas tree, ask permission and click the link in the show notes. Today we are sharing our very favorite Christmas book that tells the story about why Christmas trees are not perfect. Written by Richard H. Schneider and read by me, Erin Lynham, with permission from Guidepost Books. You can find a link in our show notes to pick up your own copy of this beautiful book. They say that if you creep into an evergreen forest late at night, you can hear the trees talking. If you listen very carefully to the whisper of the wind, you can hear the older pines telling the younger ones why they will never be perfect. They will always have a bent branch here, a gap there. But long, long ago, all evergreen trees were perfect. Each one took special pride in branches that sloped smoothly down from pointed top to evenly shaped skirt. This was especially true in a small kingdom far beyond the Carpathian Mountains in Europe. Here, the evergreen trees were the most beautiful of all. For here, the sun shone just right. Not too hot, not too dim. Here, the rain fell just enough to keep the ground moist and soft, so no tree went thirsty. And here, the snow fell gently, day after day, to keep every branch fresh and green. Each year, as Christmas approached, the Queen's woodsmen would search the royal evergreen forest for the most perfect, most beautiful tree. The one fortunate enough to be chosen would be cut on the first Saturday of Advent. It would then be carefully carried to the castle and set up in the center of the great hall. There it reigned in honor for all the Christmas celebrations. Out in the hushed forest, every evergreen hoped for this honor. Each tree tried to grow its branches and needles to perfection. All of them strained to have the best form and appearance. One tree, small pine, grew near the edge of the forest and promised to be the most beautiful of all. As a seedling, it had listened carefully to the older trees, who knew what was best for young saplings. And it had tried so very hard to grow just right. As a result, everything about small pine, from its deep sea green color to the curling tip of its evenly spaced branches, was perfect. It had, in fact, already overheard jealous whispers from the other trees, but it paid them no mind. Small pine knew that if one did one's very best, what anyone else said didn't matter. One cold night, when a bright, full moon glittered on the crusty snow, a little gray rabbit came hopping as fast as he could into the grove of evergreens. The rabbit's furry sides heaved in panic. From beyond the hill came the howling of wild dogs and the thrill of the hunt. The bunny, his eyes wide with fright, frantically searched for cover. But the dark, cold trees lifted their branches artfully from the snow and frowned. They did not like this interruption of their quiet evening when growing was at its best. Faster and faster the rabbit circled as the excited howling of the dogs sounded louder and louder. And then, Small Pine's heart shuddered. When the terrified rabbit ran near, Small Pine dipped its lower branches down, down, down to the snow. And in that instant, before the wild dogs broke into the grove, the rabbit slipped under Small Pine's evergreen screen. He huddled safely among the comforting branches while the dogs galloped by and disappeared into the forest. In the morning, the rabbit went home to his burrow. And Small Pine tried to lift its lower branches back up to their proper height. It strained and struggled, but the branches had been pressed down too long through the night. Oh well, Small Pine thought, no matter. Perhaps the woodsman wouldn't notice a few uneven branches near the ground in a tree so beautiful. Several days later, a terrible blizzard lashed the land. No one remembered ever having so much wind and snow. Villagers slammed their shutters tight while birds and animals huddled in their nests and dens. A brown mother wren
had become lost in the storm. With feathers so wet, she could barely fly. She went from one large evergreen to another, looking for a shelter. But each tree she approached feared the wren would ruin its perfect shape and clenched its branches tight like a fist. Finally, the exhausted wren fluttered toward Small Pine. Once more, Small Pine's heart opened, and so did its branches. The mother wren nestled on a branch near the top, secure at last. But when the storm ended and the bird had flown away, Small Pine could not move its top branches back into their perfect shape. In them would be a gap evermore. Days passed and winter deepened. The packed snow had frozen so hard that the deer in the forest could not reach the tender ground moss, which they ate to survive. Only the older, stronger deer could dig through the icy snow with their hooves. One little fawn had wandered away from his mother. Now he was starving. He inched into the pine grove and noticed the soft, tender evergreen tips. He tried to nibble on them, but every tree quickly withdrew its needles so the tiny deer teeth couldn't chew them. Thin and weak, he staggered against Small Pine. Pity filled the tree's heart, and it stretched out its soft needles for the starving fawn to eat. But alas, when the deer was strong enough to scamper away, Small Pine's branches looked very ragged. Small Pine wilted in sorrow. It could hear what the larger, still perfect trees were saying about how bad it looked. A tear of pine gum oozed from the tip of a branch. Small Pine knew it could never hope for the honor of being the Queen's Christmas tree. Lost in despair, Small Pine did not see the good queen come with the woodsman into the forest. It was the first Saturday of Advent, and she had come to choose the finest tree herself because this was a special celebration year in the history of her kingdom. As the royal sleigh, drawn by two white horses, slowly passed through the forest, her careful eye scanned the evergreens. Each one was hoping to be the royal choice. When the queen saw Small Pine, a flush of anger filled her. How could such an ugly tree with so many drooping branches and gaps be allowed in the royal forest? She decided to have a woodsman cut it to throw away and nodded for the sleigh to drive on. But then she raised her hand for the sleigh to stop and glanced back at the forlorn little pine. She noticed the tracks of small animals under its uneven needles. She saw a wren's feather caught in its branches. And as she studied the gaping hole in its side and its ragged shape, understanding filled her heart. "This is the one," she said, and pointed to Small Pine. The woodsman gasped, but they did as the queen directed. To the astonishment of all the evergreens in the forest, Small Pine was carried away to the great hall in the castle. There it was decorated with shimmering silver stars and golden angels, which sparkled and flashed in the light of thousands of glowing candles. On Christmas Day, a huge Yule log blazed in the fireplace at the end of the great hall. While orange flames chuckled and crackled, the queen's family and all the villagers danced and sang together around Small Pine. And everyone who danced and sang around it said that Small Pine was the finest Christmas tree yet. For in looking at its drooping, nibbled branches, they saw the protecting arm of their father or the comforting lap of a mother. And some, like the wise queen, saw the love of Christ expressed on earth. So, if you walk among evergreens today, you will find, along with rabbits, birds, and other happy living things, many trees like Small Pine. You will see a drooping limb, which gives cover, a gap offering a warm resting place, or branches ragged from feeding hungry animals. For, as have many of us, the trees have learned that living for the sake of others makes us most beautiful in the eyes of God.
Isn't that a beautiful story? As we celebrate Advent season, we can remember how Jesus served all of us by humbling himself and coming to earth as a baby and living a perfect life and then dying to save us from the punishment of our sins. Jesus is the perfect example of serving others.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 1:9.
Merry Christmas.